Welcome everybody who's here with me and everybody who might be listening online and will listen later. We'll put this audio teaching up on our fellowship gathering section to edify the saints all over, scattered all over the world. It's hard for us all to meet at the same time or even to meet up with any numbers of people as the body is scattered all over. So that'll be up there. Glory to God today that we get to come together. And I thank you for joining with me to lift up and seek after God's truth. That's always our goal, to be worshiping God in His Spirit and His truth. So our topic that I want to talk about today for this gathering is Biblical New Testament Joy Defined. Biblical New Testament Joy Defined. And as always, I remind everyone, write down the verses I'm going to talk about. Go back, review them, meditate on them. Test me to the Word of God always. Brother James is not the truth. The Word is the truth. So test everything I say to the Word of God. This topic came up recently. It comes up often, but it came up a lot recently as we've been preaching at some fleshly so-called Christian music festivals, and we've been to various religious places. And when I preach the gospel, they'll often claim and say to us that they dance around, they act fleshly in their rowdy worship and their gather, so-called worship meetings and their gatherings, shouting out, undulating, jumping up and down. You get what I'm saying. That they have the joy of the Holy Spirit is what we hear. A lot of these are charismatic places. That's being swept in more and more into the non-denominational places. Pentecostal, charismatic, Word of Faith, New Apostolic Reformation. It's all kind of being joined together slowly as we approach the last days. So they always say, well, we just have the joy of the Holy Spirit. That's why we do these things. And they always make references going back. I just did a teaching on David danced. And they always make reference to the Old Testament. And look up my teaching at the teaching blog at don'tperish.com. David danced, and I give you the reference, the context of that, and they take it totally out of context. So to understand this topic rightly, let's get some Bible foundation upon this word joy. The word joy is used about 120 times in the Old Testament, and it's used about 60 times in the New Testament. I always like to do a word study and count the words because it's kind of telling of what is of importance. So it's used about 180 times total. I want to look at these verses regarding joy and get us a context from the Old Testament to the New Testament. The first place we see the word joy used in the scriptures using a King James Bible is in Deuteronomy. I find that interesting because that means you go back to Adam, Noah, Abraham. None of them were using the word joy or described as joyful. That's just something to throw out there. It's kind of interesting. Those godly men that God said were, especially Noah and Abraham, the word joy isn't really used there. So I thought that was kind of interesting. And also interesting, in reference to joy, if we look at the word peace, it's used over 300 times in the Old Testament. And in that case, peace means happy and well. So give you kind of a reference, 120 times it used the word joy, over 300 times it uses the word peace, kind of has the same meaning to it. But back to the word joy. So let's go to some scripture verses. What is joy in the Old Testament? Let's look at it. Deuteronomy 28:47. And it says this, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness, with gladness of heart, for the abundance of things. So if we look at that word joyfulness, it's shimcha. It means glee. It means gladness. It means mirth, pleasure, and rejoice. So that kind of goes along with what we would understand it to mean in the English. Let's look at 1 Chronicles 15:16. And David spake to the chief of the Levites to appoint their brethren to the singers with instruments of music, psalteries, harps, cymbals, sounding, by lifting up their voice with joy. Now, on that one right there, one I want to mention, notice, instruments, music, attached to worship, lifting up in worship, joy to the Lord, in the Old Testament. Remember I mentioned David, they said he danced, they always say he used instruments. We'll get back to that point. It does reference that in the Old Testament. Let's see where the New takes us when it comes to joy and our relationship to God in praising him, coming to him, all right? And in that verse there, 1 Chronicles 15, it's the same word, Shimcha. It means exceeding gladness, full mirth, pleasure. How about Ezra 6:16? And the children of Israel, the priests and the Levites, and the rest of the children of captivity, kept the dedication of this house of God with joy. Now, here it's referencing God, and this word, I think it's chevda, and it means just that, joy. That's all. It doesn't have anything else really denoted to it. So it would be the same thing we would understand in English. It means joy. They're talking about coming to the house of God with joy, right? Now, the next verse I want to share with you, Nehemiah 8:10, it's kind of a pretty famous verse, kind of gives us a little bit more of a reference of joy. Nehemiah 8:10. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So right there, that's pretty powerful. The joy of the Lord is your strength. That word in Hebrew, it simply means joy and gladness. No fleshly outburst, no outside manifestation. It's a simple joy and gladness is your strength. Remember that. That's kind of a key thing. How about some verses from Psalms? Psalm 5:11. But let all those that put their trust in the Lord rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. Again, this word joy is a little bit stronger meaning, because here in the Old Testament, it's referencing their feelings about God. So it's to shout, to cry out, okay? Still means joyful, but it's a physical manifestation, a shouting, a crying out. But it's directly related to their coming together unto God, and this is in the Old Testament, isn't it? Yeah, it is. All right, Psalm 42:4. Psalm 42:4. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with multitude that kept the holy day. The word joy here also, it is a shouting. It's crying out. It means joy. It has that deeper meaning. And again, it's connected right to God. So what do we see in the Old Testament, right? We see there's a simple joy that comes from a reference of knowing God, knowing about God. And then there's a more of an outside physical joy, shouting, crying out, all right? It was always linked to their worship of God near the temple, in the acts of their gathering, their obedience, oftentimes tied to instruments, which are an outside manifestation, right? It was, this is key, it was their way of praising God in the Old Testament, because they had no indwelling Holy Spirit in them. That is so important to see the difference between the new and the old. They had to slaughter sheep. We have our Lamb of God in Jesus. They were circumcising men. We're circumcised in our hearts. They had temples of stone. We are now the temple by the Spirit. They made a wooden ark. Jesus is our spiritual ark. So all these beautiful archetypes from the Old Testament to the New have to also be understood when we're talking about joy. What joy do we see in the New Testament versus the Old? We're going to get to that. But we see the prophets of old talked about joy too. Isaiah 12, verse 3. He says, therefore, the joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. This word joy, it's talking about God. It means cheerfulness and rejoicing. All right, and it's talking about God. So the prophet knew joy related to God, and it was a cheerfulness, and it was a rejoicing. The pattern we see in the Old Testament, again, to be clear, was both a simple joy and then a physical joy, rejoicing, shouting, and that was linked to their worship of God with instruments, oftentimes. Now, since we live in the new, right? Everybody that I witness to, no one denies, we live in the new. We're not in the Old covenant anymore. We are in the New Testament, Matthew 26. The Lord comes and gives us his new blood covenant. What do we see about joy and how it's comes out in people and his people in the New Testament? Again, I want to make it clear. No inner dwelling Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. That is just so important. Everybody misses that. The Holy Spirit came down upon David. The Holy Spirit came down upon the holy prophets and spoke to them and spoke through them. It wasn't indwelt in them. Very, very different situation. Now, as we move on to the New Testament, who's our example that we're to emulate in the New Testament? Well, it would be Jesus Christ, our Lord, number one. And according to 1 Corinthians, it would also be Apostle Paul who said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. So the two men that were to emulate per God's holy word, Jesus and Paul, what did they see and how did they describe joy? We're going to look at that in these New Testament references. Was it a physical outside joy when it comes to relating to God? Or was it something different now that the Spirit had come? Was it dancing, jumping, body motion, swaying, crying out uncontrollably, physical actions and manifestations that we see in all these so-called churches, Pentecostal, Word of Faith, NAR, even non-denominationals? Is that really the joy of the Lord today in the New Testament? Let's go there. Luke 1, verse 14. You're going to see a pattern here in the New Testament. I'm trying to show you the difference between the Old Testament joy regarding God and the New Testament. Luke 1:14. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. So here it's talking about the birth of Christ. They're going to have joy and gladness. What's the word? Chara. You know what it means? This is so key. Calm cheerfulness. Not outside fleshly manifestations. Calm cheerfulness. Remember that. You're going to hear me say that over and over. Let's keep going. Angels speak of joy. Luke 2:10. Hold on. Let me get a drink here. Thank you. My throat's a little rough. All right. Luke 2:10. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Here's an angel of God coming, bringing tidings of great joy. What does this angel bring? Jumping, yelling, shouting, physical manifestations? No. Same word. Chara. Calm cheer. You might say it's an inner joy. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that what the Holy Spirit does in us? Gives us inner peace, an inner joy. Oh, we got a lot more. Let's keep going. Jesus uses joy. And what does it cause? Let's look at it. Luke 6:23. Luke 6:23. Rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner did the fathers unto their prophets. Now let's look in context here. This is not about worshiping God. This is about you and I being joyful that we're serving God because we were persecuted and were hated. In Acts, they were beaten and it says they rejoiced and went away because they were worthy. This isn't about worship of God or coming together with saints. This is about your physical joy. Kind of like, you know, if you were starving and you found some food and you'd say, we found food, and you jumped up and down. Yeah, there's a joy like that referenced here, but it has nothing to do with that inner joy that we get from the Holy Spirit. So I wanted to show you the difference there. The word is skirteo. It means to leap. So it's that physical outside joy, but again, it's not tied to worship of God. It's not what God wants. Jesus was describing how you should react in your own personal flesh when people hate you because of his namesake. So I think that's kind of neat. Other verses, we'll keep going. Luke 15:10. This again talking about angels. You know, angels are created by God. They should know about joy, shouldn't they? Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. What's the word? Chara. Calm cheer. The angels aren't dancing around. They're not jumping around. They're bringing calm cheer. And an angel is what? A messenger of God. That's what God wants to bring us, is that chara, calm cheer. Luke 24:52. Hopefully you're seeing a pattern here. Luke 24:52. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. So they go and they worship this Savior, and they return to Jerusalem with great joy. What's the word? Chara. Calm, inner cheer, or calm cheer. I like to say inner because the Holy Spirit's in us, so I know that's what he's doing in us. Calm cheer is what they received. Now, this next verse is one of my favorite ones, and it really shows us Jesus' joy. He gives it to us. What is it? Is it a jumping, emotional, shouting, body undulation, convulsions, all this stuff that they tell me is the joy of the Holy Spirit? Or is it something else? John 15:11. John 15:11 says, Jesus says, "These things I've spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy may be full." How interesting. He wants his joy to remain in us. What kind of joy does he want us to have? The word is chara, calm cheerfulness. No yelling, no dancing, no jumping and screaming. We saw at that, of those fleshly music fests, we saw out of control physical manifestations. That's not what we're seeing in the New Testament. That's the point I'm trying to make here. It's very different than the Old Testament. No Holy Spirit on the inside in the Old Testament. Today, born-again believers have the Holy Spirit inside of us, and I'm showing you scriptures that teach it brings us calm cheerfulness. This is the goal that the Father wants for us, not outside fleshly ways. There's more. Let's keep going. John 16:22. Jesus says, "And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again." He's getting ready to leave them. "Your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you." What's the joy that we have because of Christ? The word is chara, calm cheerfulness. No outside physical manifestations needed here. How about John 17:33? "And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that ye might have my joy fulfilled in themselves." Again, this is the joy that God is giving us via his Holy Spirit. He's the creator. He's our master. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. What kind of joy does he want us to have? John 17:13. The word is chara, calm cheerfulness. What a pattern we're seeing here. So let's look at men beyond Jesus himself that he called and trained by the Spirit. Acts 13:25. And what does the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, here you go. Acts 13:52. All these people telling us, "Oh, we have the joy of the Holy Ghost." They're jumping around, acting crazy, screaming. The disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. What's the joy that the Holy Ghost brought? The word is chara. It means calm cheerfulness. And you're going to see, I'm going to tell you a story at the end of this teaching that's really going to kind of tie this together. All right, moving on. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. "And ye became followers of us," this is Paul speaking, "and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost." Here's the joy. It's of the Holy Ghost. Apostle Paul taught, handpicked, trained, and taught by Jesus. What's the word he uses? Chara, calm cheerfulness. How beautiful. How about Paul describing Jesus, our high priest, Hebrews 12:2. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith," I love that, "for who the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." What's the joy that was set before him? Nothing physical, nothing outward. Chara, calm cheerfulness. All right. Let's move on to Peter. 1 Peter 1:8. I like to keep giving verses to show a pattern. One thing you want to watch out for, saints, in your Bible study, never build your theology on one or two verses and think it means what, that's what it means, and just run off with that and teach that. Don't do that. You want to look at the Word of God and see it patterns. See how God laid it out in Scripture. And you're seeing this pattern over and over and over, because the Word of God interprets the Word of God, supports the Word of God, and That's what we want to find, not pulling. It's called proof texting, pulling one or two verses out of context. That's what false teachers do. Those seeking truth use the full word. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. For whom having not seen, ye love, in whom thou now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Your joy is unspeakable. It's full of glory. It's jumping around, yelling and screaming. No, it's chara, calm cheerfulness that comes from the Holy Spirit deep inside of us. How about Brother John? 1 John chapter 1, verse 4. And these things I write unto you, that your joy may be full. So he's talking to believers. They've repented. They're born again. They have the Holy Spirit. He wants their joy to be full. What's it full of? A whole bunch of fleshly outside manifestations. Joy of the Holy Ghost, jumping around, screaming, acting wild. Nope, the word here is chara. It means calm cheerfulness. Yeah, Brother James is being redundant, and I hope I'm proving a point. Back to Brother John. 3 John chapter 1, verse 4. It's one of my favorite verses. I know I say that a lot, but I love this verse. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. That means God and the brothers and the apostles are joyful when they know that we're walking in the truth. That word is chara, calm cheerfulness that comes from deep inside of us. I want to give you one more verse from the New Testament. And this is like, to me, I always talk about like, you know, recipes and you're making a cake. All you ladies that know cakes are made of flour and sugar and water and yeast and whatever else, eggs. I don't know. I'm not a baker, but I always say this is the icing on the cake, right? Because cake is good, but when you put icing on it, sometimes it's even better. Galatians 5:22. What does the Spirit of God bring us? Everybody's talking about the fruit of the Spirit, right? Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Let's see. If I believe all these modern pastors, musicians, evangelists that are using music, smoke machines, and lights to get people jumping around, screaming, yelling, doing all kinds of crazy things. Hey, that word joy must mean like a outside manifestation, right? Nope. Galatians 5:22, the word joy is chara. Calm cheerfulness is the fruit of the Spirit that the Father sends us. So much for all of that that they have added. Bringing it back from the Old Testament, using it to fill up pews, hype people up. We've seen them work people into a frenzy, and then they ask for the money. They tell people, go buy our merchandise. They do false altar calls when everyone's worked up emotionally. They run to the stage, but it's not inner cheer or calm. No, it's outside manifestations. And I want to kind of start wrapping this up by saying, all of this makes really good sense when you ponder, like I talked about with my teaching of David dancing. The Spirit fell in Acts 2. It brought a calm cheerfulness. No dancing. No instruments were used in the New Testament body. No fleshly outbursts other than speaking in tongues, which is of the Spirit, and it was all in order. That all faded. Okay, that Old Testament way. Chara, calm cheerfulness, is now what God's Spirit brings to His people, His believers, when they come together. If you're sitting down to, your worship is your everyday life, live for God. But when you sit down to adore God, to bring him extra praise, calm cheerfulness is what is really is being brought here. And I give you all of those verses because I want to back up what I'm telling you, that they're using a false spirit, a false Jesus, false teaching, emotionalism in so-called man-made Sunday religion and all these places has become an idol in the false churches, and we true saints must guard against it. That's why we guard against instrumental music. That's why we guard against all these concerts and movies and everything that plays to your flesh. This is not of the true New Testament way, and I think I'm showing you that in the scriptures here. We're told in the scriptures in Romans 8 to not be in the flesh, but to walk in the Spirit. Jesus says we must worship God in spirit and truth, John 4:24. And this verse is really key. We're told in 1 Corinthians that God is a God of order, not confusion. We saw massive confusion at all these festivals. And when I was witnessing outside Pentecostal places, we hear and we see all their mass confusion, but God is a God of order by his spirit, Chara, calm, cheerfulness. None, this is a fact, none of the men that Jesus taught, nor himself, acted out in the ways that we see people acting out today. That should cause you to ponder. We're supposed to be like Jesus and Paul. Why is everyone acting like the Old Testament when they were dead inside, didn't have the spirit? Could it be false spirits have come in? Could it be they're teaching a false way? Here's a truth for you. As I go and witness and minister, me and Sister Debbie, to all these people, and we talk to hundreds of people, they love music and fleshly emotional ways more than they love the truth of the Word of God. That's true. They do all this fleshly emotionalism. They cry at the altar, so-called coming to God. But when you open a Bible and want to talk to them about the truth, they laugh at you and they mock. That's not the Spirit of God. This is a wrong spirit. I'm going to offer to you that Satan is using these false fleshly manifestations to deceive the masses, especially young people, but we saw a lot of middle age, we saw a lot of older people too. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 4. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 4. Paul says this: "For if he that cometh preaching another Jesus, whom we've not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, ye might well bear with him." Paul warned in Galatians 1, 2, false gospels, false spirits. I'm telling you, this is what's taking place. They've switched what is the orderly, calm way of God's spirit to a fleshly way that's sweeping millions of people away in their flesh, in their emotionalism. What are we told in the New Testament? In Titus 1 and Titus 2, we're told saints are to be sober-minded. That goes right with this calm cheerfulness, does it not? Not jumping, yelling, dancing, emotional outbursts, uncontrolled, unbiblical tongues, slain in the spirit, which is really Kundalini Hindu ways where people fall down and they're laying on the ground twitching. This is not of God's Holy Spirit. This is of a false spirit that has come in. It's not biblical. They're not modeling what the New Testament saints did, as I've showed you in Scripture, by this word joy. They've allowed a false gospel to come in, and a false Jesus is being propagated all over the place. So I'm hoping that this teaching will teach you to seek the joy that the true Holy Spirit of God can bring. It's all over the New Testament pages. It's different than the Old Testament because we're in the new. Paul says the old has faded, the new has come. It's a calm, it's a cheerfulness inside via the Spirit, not the outside flesh. That should really make a point to you. Consider that. It's a calmness from the inside, not our outside flesh. We have to always consider that this change that's happened to us born-again believers was a changed heart. I used to dress like a worldly man. I used to talk like a worldly man. I used to live like a worldly man. I didn't change that till my heart was changed. When the heart changes, we see that things change on the outside. This includes the joy that comes from. Jesus said, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks, right? This is what happens when our heart changes. Biblical joy comes from within us. This is really key. It does not come from outside stimulation with carnal music, loud thumping beats, lights and smoke machines. We get true joy, that calm Chara joy, calm cheerfulness via the Holy Spirit and the gospel. What's the gospel? Place your faith in that shed blood of Jesus Christ and his resurrection, his work, which we need. We can't get there without it. Repent, change from your ways, the world's ways, man-made religion, your pride, your vanity, all your false beliefs, to new life, being born again by the Spirit. We get that calmness from within. The fruit is holiness and obedience that keeps us in the Word, walking in his ways. And then we strive in all this and we endure in the faith to the end. That's the gospel. That's how you get this joy. Most of these false people are getting this joy by attending a worldly, fleshly rock concert. That's not the joy of the Lord. So I want to tell you my story. Remember, I told you I'd tell you a story. Quick story here. When we were at this latest music festival and I called out the false teacher, he walked up. Now, he didn't bring a Bible. He had his guitar. He don't want to talk about truth. He knew all about my testing. He stood in front of our gospel sign with his thumb up, had his photographer, take a picture. Later, he posted us on his Facebook page, and he's very popular. False teachers are popular, especially music ones. And we went all over the internet. Our website blew up, and a bunch of people heard about us that never would have heard about us. And you know what everybody said about me and Sister Debbie? I'm just going to say it. I was rebuking him. She was holding the video camera, videotaping it, and we didn't have smiles on our faces. They said we looked like we had no joy, that we were sad, that we had sour faces, while this false NAR musician is sitting there all smiley-faced and grinned, making fun and mocking the truth of God. I tell you that story because I want you to understand something. What did we just learn? That peace and joy comes from inside you. It resides inside you, and you don't need a big 5-foot smile on your face. It's an inner joy. I don't see the scriptures describing Jesus as a smiley guy. I don't see it describing John the Baptist as a smiley guy. Did he ever smile? I'm sure he did. It describes them as of sorrow and grief and seriousness and soberness. Same thing with Apostle Paul. Yet they all say, well, if you're not smiling on the outside and have all these physical, and by the way, these people, we often notice they have like this glaring, weird look. A lot of them do. I think it's a false spirit. I've seen enough of it. It's an outside manifestation, and I think that it is something that has been introduced to them, spirits, doctrines of demons coming inside, deceiving them. So I wanted to tell you that story. So we're not happy because we're not smiling on the outside, but if anybody knows us, we live with the joy of the Lord, whether we're smiling or not. So that's exactly a good point to illustrate. They think the joy is on the outside. You're jumping, dancing around, doing all these things when we know. Where do real saints know the joy comes from the inside through the Holy Spirit and the gospel, not the outside? Let your godly qualities come from your changed heart from the inside, and they come and they shine out through the outside, not the other way around. You need fleshly stimulation, music, lights, smoke machines, thumping, other people jumping up and down. We've seen it. You've heard crowd mentality. Yeah. One kid throws a rock, and before you know it, they're all throwing a rock. People are sheep, and oftentimes they're goats too, and they go with the wrong shepherd, and they follow these bad influences, and we see this over and over again. So just remember that. You don't have to have a big smile on your face all the time to have the inner cheerfulness from the Holy Spirit, especially when you're there seeing sadness, sin. There wasn't much to smile about there that day, and we were actually grieved in our hearts by what we saw, but we still had the joy of the Lord inside of us. And I'm rejoicing because I know the day they come to get me, throw me in prison, torture me, or kill me, I know that if I hold fast to the Word of God and the Spirit of God, that I have Christ's joy and inner calm deep inside me, cheerfulness. I don't need them to start the band. I don't need smoke machines. I don't need lights. I don't need emotionalism. I know that He will give me what I need inside. I don't need to try to whip up. Here it is. I don't need to try to whip up the presence of God. I have an article on that. They all think they're whipping up the presence of God. You got to find this presence of God in this outward joy and manifestation of music. That's not what the Bible teaches. The presence of God, Jesus says in the book of John, is manifest inside of us if we're born of Him via the Holy Spirit. We don't summon Him with music. Do you know who they summons with music? They summons in voodoo demons and Satan with their music. We don't summon our Holy Spirit from the Father via music. He's already dwelling inside of us, and we walk in His Spirit. Who are they playing to? Itchy-eared people, like Paul talked about in the book of Timothy's, and it draws people in the pews, in their concerts. It sells lots of merchandise. It raises them lots of money. But it's not from the Holy Spirit of God. So I hope I've shown you, via all these scriptures, the Old Testament was different. There was some jumping, shouting, and a little bit of dancing before the Lord. And for then, that was absolutely fine and appropriate for that time. Today in the New, we have the Holy Spirit. We see how the holy men in the New lived out their life. It was not the same. It was not of the flesh. It was not of the outside. It's a calm cheerfulness that the Holy Spirit gives us. And that is the joy that all true believers should walk in. Not emotionalism. Don't rely on your flesh. Don't rely on your circumstances. Rely on the Holy Spirit of God, the Word of God, and you'll have that inner joy no matter what happens. Last thing I want to say, I'm going to do a study on this too, but go and do a word search on the word peace. And peace and joy are often linked in the Bible, and you'll see that word peace is used a lot more, and that also we get the peace of Christ, we get the peace of the Spirit. So kind of adds to this. Go and do a word search, and I'll be doing a teaching on that sometime soon. I hope that one will bless you too. So I'm going to leave it right there. I hope you know Christ by the gospel today. If you don't, go look at the gospel on our website. Repent, seek the kingdom of God today with all that you are. And I want to thank everybody that gathers with me to listen, people that are online, and all of you that will listen later. There's lots of fellowship teachings there. Most of you know this. Go to the teaching blog from don'tperish.com, and there's thousands of articles to help you. If you are a lady seeking Christ, go to my wife's sister's blog, edifying material for the topics of ladies to help you become a godly Titus 2 lady, woman of God today. And if we can help any of you saints in any way, let us know. You can reach us at our contact info. So I'm going to leave it right there. We love you all. Until I come to you again next time, we got to get down the road. We got a big event to preach at. Till next time, we love you all. May God be praised.